be the need of a substitute. Book of Jonah. And I'll start from verse 1 and read down to verse 16. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went into it, down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And he said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence come thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and a dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. This would be a little section we're going to be doing on the death and resurrection of Christ, and this would probably be part one. The last 2 weeks we have saw God's sovereignty. He is supreme. He does what he wants. That no one can say, Why hast thou done this? As Nebuchadnezzar came to realize, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What dost thou do? We have to come to that living reality that he is supreme, he is sovereign. And also we saw the first week that God sets commandments, and it must be kept. His commandments must be kept. He is sovereign. And they are one-sided. He sets them, we must do them. And also we saw what condition mankind is in. God gave Adam a commandment. He failed. We are all born dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 3 says, None seeks after God, and that there is none righteous. No, not one. Last week we saw that nothing is by chance or is an accident. Everything has been decreed, and God's providence is being worked out right now. That's a providence. It's a working out of his decrees. And we saw that the cross was no afterthought with God. Acts 2:23 says, Him being delivered, Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel or decree, the same word, and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So it was no afterthought. Now we come to the heart of the gospel, Christ the substitute. What does that word substitute mean? In a dictionary, I think it's correct. It says, taking the place of another. And that's exactly what it is in the original language. Ever since the fall, ever since Adam's sin, ever since he fell to covenant, the commandment, religion of one form or another, they have come and they have gone. But all of them have one thing in common, save yourself. This is the grand lie of Satan. You can see it all the way through the Bible and all the way through church history. Just take a look at JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. They go around door to door. They think they're saving themselves. Work, work, work. You see, when Adam fell to covenant, it didn't take away from the fact that the covenant or commandment, the same covenant or commandment that Adam had come under, it still had to be kept perfectly. It didn't take away the fact that covenant had to still be kept perfectly. Religion says, yes, we can. The Bible says, no, we can't. In Jonah 1, verse 11 through 16, and I'll read it again. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Actually, I'm going to stop in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. In verse 13, it says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They rowed hard. There's a big storm. It's raging against them, and they're trying to save themselves. But notice carefully, but they could not. Do you understand that word grace? It's an important word for us to understand. Miss grace and you miss the Bible. I'm telling you, if you miss grace, you miss the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 9. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's a condition every mankind is born in. We're all like that at one time. Until what? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together. Notice that word, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of the grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. It was a kindness. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of, it is the emphatic, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They were working to save themselves. Religion says, work to save yourself. The Bible says, trust in another. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And in Jonah 2:9, we see what happened to Jonah after he came to the truth. Salvation is of the Lord. Have you come to that truth in your own heart? Has it hit you? Jonah came to that realization, but it took a lot, and we'll be going through that later on more thoroughly. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So we have the truth of the gospel, which, the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. That word "knew" is fully acquainted, to become fully acquainted with the truth of the gospel, with the truth of the grace of God. Have you been fully acquainted with His grace? Has it sunk deep in your heart? Can you cry out, "Salvation is of the Lord"? Is it in your heart? Those men were trying to save themselves. Religion says, try to save yourself. The Bible says you cannot. In Romans 5, 6, it says we were without strength. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The commandment's still going, friends, but we're without strength to fulfill it. There was nothing wrong with God's commandments. The commandment is not the problem. In Romans 5, 12, it says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." The Ten Commandments have been going, and are still going. And yet we break them day by day. We break the Holy Sabbath every week. We break all the commandments. But there's one that could keep them. And we praise God for that, because we were born without strength to keep His commandments. Thus, we needed a substitute, because we're without strength. The commandment is holy. We just can't keep it. Thus, we need a substitute. In verse 15, back to Jonah. In Jonah, back in verse 12, we see it said beforehand, "And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. Show thou the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." He was warning them, telling them, cast me into the sea. But then they go out and try to save themselves. The Bible warns us there's a salvation of another, but yet people go out and try to save themselves. In verse 14, or actually in verse 15, we see, "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." Jonah was substituted so that these men might live. Christ was our substitute so that we might live. There's a very excellent scripture in Genesis that shows us a clear picture of the substitutionary work. And we've all heard it many, many times, but it's always good to be refreshed. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went in unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I, the lad, will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them there together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham took his only son. God offered his only son, Jesus Christ. And it says here, in the stead of his son, he offered up the ram. Well, we deserve to be sacrificed, but God offered up his only son on our behalf in the stead of. And if we go to Matthew 20:28, I'll show you what that word, in the stead of his son, the original language in the Greek. In Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That word for right there we would probably overlook, but in original languages there's two Greek words for it. One is anti, A-N-T-I, the other is hyper. The word used here is anti, and it means instead of, in the place of. And that's what we saw in Genesis chapter 22, in the place of. And here we see in the original, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom instead of many, instead of his elect, instead of the many. He offered up his own life as a ransom. He paid the price with his own precious blood so we wouldn't have to pay it with our blood. We deserve judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. Instead, Christ offered up his life, a ransom, anti, for many instead of many. You understand how precious blood is, Christ's blood? I'm going to read you a little bit from this little booklet. The blood is the life, we see in Deuteronomy 12:23. Not that blood and life are actually the same thing. The one is material, the other immaterial. But the blood is a life made visible, and the liquid link between body and soul, which once broken brings death. The blood poured out is a life drained away from the body, the departure of the soul from its material dwelling. Thus the blood and the life are identified. God identifies them, law identifies them. Blood shed is a symbol or visible expedition of death. Death was a penalty of man's guilt. When man sinned, death was a penalty. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If then another life is to be taken for our life, and another death is to stand for ours, the true expression of this is the drawing of the blood from the victim and putting that blood on us. This is a symbolic declaration of the great substitution, the great transference, one life for another, one death for another. Blood is the life, and it's a symbol. You can read it in Leviticus. And when Christ died, his blood is being poured upon us who are being saved. And then now God looks upon us as doing what Christ did instead of, in place of. Everything that Christ did, when that blood is poured upon us, sprinkled on us, God sees us as doing everything that Christ did in the place of Christ. That's how precious that blood is, in place of, instead of. Christ sees us fulfilling all the terms of the covenant. Christ sees us going to the cross. Christ sees us suffering. God sees us as being raised again, or being raised into the heavenly praises in Christ Jesus. God sees us doing all these things through Christ in the place of. That's how precious it is, that blood of Jesus Christ. It's been poured upon us, and we get what Christ did in the place of. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that's Christ, for the unjust, that's sinners, that he might bring us to God. There was enmity between man and God. We were far from God. Man sinned. Adam sinned, all sin, in Romans 5:12. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Looked hopeless, huh? Well, 1 Peter 3:18 says there was a way. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, and there was enmity, but that he might bring us to God. We were helpless to fulfill the commandments, but Christ wasn't. He was our substitute, and oh, what a grand substitute God gave us. Imagine if God just kept putting man after man after man after man, we'd still be waiting for that Savior. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son, Proverbs 8 says, his Son, who before the foundations of the world was daily his delight, sent that Son, Jesus Christ, to be our substitute. And he suffered, Jesus Christ, once for sins, the just for the unjust. That was our only hope, friends. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the great scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There we go. We got a righteousness, but it wasn't our own. It was a substitute. He fulfilled a commandment. He fulfilled a covenant, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, our substitute. And Isaiah 64:6 says, all of our righteousness is as filthy as rags. But religion says, save yourself. You can fulfill those covenants. The Bible says, no, we need a substitute. One to go in our place, to go in our stead. Religion says we can fulfill all the commandments. The Bible says we need Christ to go in our place. Matthew 5:17-18, he fulfilled the covenants, he fulfilled the terms, absolutely, all the way to the absolute jot and tittle. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The whole Old Testament spoke about Christ, and he didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he came under the terms and completely fulfilled to absolute jot and tittle. This jot means the smallest Hebrew word, or the actually not word, the letter, the smallest Hebrew letter, and tittle means the smallest point of that letter of the Hebrew language. He fulfilled it, saying in that letter, he's fulfilled it absolutely, completely, nothing left undone. When he came to be baptized, in verse 13 and 14 and 15 of chapter 3 of Matthew, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me to be baptized? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Praise God. It suffered them, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Christ when he came, to fulfill all the terms. And Christ did come to fulfill all righteousness, and he did. He was our substitute. Religion says man's righteousness. Bible says Christ's righteousness in our place. Are you fully acquainted with His grace? Have you come to a living reality that God is sovereign and He does what He wants? Can you cry out as Jonah came to say in chapter 2, salvation is of the Lord? In the scripture reading today we saw in Philemon, and from what I understand, Onesimus stole something from, he stole something from his, from where he came from. And so Paul's writing him back as he goes back. Let me start and just read it, then we can go through it. Verse 8, wherefore though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant. So Onesimus was a servant in the house of Philemon, and then he stole something from Philemon, and then he was in prison and was saved at that time in the ministry. And that's why it says in 17 and 18, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee, I'll put that on my account. Anything, put that on my account. If he owes you anything, put that on my account. We owe a lot. We owe perfect righteousness. We have a debt that's humongous. And we came into this world without strength. But praise God, He sent His Son Jesus Christ, who was loaded with strength, loaded with the Holy Spirit. And He came under the terms. And He came as a substitute. And He came on our account. And as it said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we already read it, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And that word for He hath made Him to be sin for us, or in our stead, or in our place for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It been put to our account as a substitute, Christ Jesus. We now have perfect righteousness. His righteousness. It's been transferred to our account as our great substitute Jesus Christ came on our behalf. Well, now we can close up in Jonah. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and the waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. It's a tough lesson. And I pray you could cry unto the Lord and say, salvation is of the Lord. And we have a great substitute. Let's pray.